So here's a fairy tale you might not want to read to a child before bed. Once upon a time, there was a good man who was happy about his life. Then a mosquito flew by and landed on his hand to suck some of his blood. When the good man saw the mosquito, he knew that it wanted to suck his blood, and he thought, "The poor little mosquito should suck my blood until it's full," and he didn't disturb it. Then the mosquito stung the man, sucked his blood until it was content, and flew away, totally grateful. It was so happy that it told all the mosquitoes how good the man had been and how good his blood had tasted. Then the sky became black with mosquitoes, and they all wanted to see the good man and suck his good blood. And they stung and stung and sucked and sucked, and none of them became full because there were too many of them. Meanwhile, the good man died. That's the story of the good man, written by German Dadaist artist Kurt Schwitters. He was one of the most celebrated modern artists in Europe in the 20s and 30s, until his career was cut short by the Nazis. Schwitters was a painter and a poet who wrote satirical, surrealist fairy tales. A collection of them called Lucky Hans has just been translated and edited by Jack Zipes, one of the world's leading experts on fairy tales. Zipes told Ancient Champs that Kurt Schwitters wasn't the only European artist to experiment with fairy tales.
The experimentation was generally done by people left of center. And the reason they were doing that was because they felt that the Grimm's fairy tales and the traditional folk tales and Andersen's fairy tales were ultra-conservative. And as you know, after 1919, there were revolutions all over Europe, and it was a great revolutionary period of the arts. And so, of course, many writers thought, well, if we're going to change attitudes and dispositions and ideas, we definitely must change fairy tales.
What would be conservative about, say, Little Red Riding Hood?
Oh, we might talk for several hours about Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood is a tale about rape. It's a tale about rape in which the young girl is generally made guilty for bringing about the violation of a grandmother and her own violation. Almost all the Grimm's fairy tales are sexist. If you reread them, and also Andersen's tales are very sexist and to a certain extent racist and so on and so forth. These classical fairy tales were very entrenched in European cultures, and a lot of these writers began reviewing them very carefully and wanted to produce something new. So it's not by chance that writers turn to fairy tales.
Well, when you read Schwitters' fairy tales, it's not just that he's writing a feminist version of Little Red Riding Hood. He's taken elements and bits and pieces that we recognize from fairy tales and created something completely topsy-turvy, a weird, sort of absurdist kind of world.
Yes, definitely. He takes recognizable motifs and characters, plots, and he turns them upside down so that you expose the ridiculous nature of many of the rules and regulations that we have arbitrarily constructed to run our lives. So Schwitters wanted to question all of that.
A lot of these fairy tales are very short. Is there one you could read for us?
Oh, sure. I would be pleased to. I'll read a tale that I think is really points out the absurdist nature of society. It's called A King Without People. Once upon a time, there was a king who didn't have any ministers. He didn't have any peasants. He didn't have any courtiers. He had no one whatsoever. This king expected an envoy from the neighboring people who didn't have a king, because these people had a successor to the throne who didn't have a wife, and he wanted to fill this present gap by courting the king's daughter. However, the envoy didn't come, and therefore the king held the following speech. "Gentlemen, ambassadors of my royal neighbor, I am pleased that you haven't come to court my daughter, for I don't have any daughters whatsoever. Tell your chief that I am going to give his royal highness my entire love, my child, and half of my possessions. Since he didn't have any possessions at all, however, it didn't make much of a difference if he gave away half. The other half would be sufficient for his old age.
Okay, that's a fairy tale that's a little hard to follow, because every time you think there's something real that's there, there's nothing.
Right.
Is this Kurt Schwitter's take on the emperor who has no clothes?
Exactly, or just a mock fairy tale about kings and queens and the whole notion of the monarchy. And it's through that ridicule, you know, that he wants to do away with these set of fixed notions about life.
Hmm. You could call them anti-fairy tales in a way, couldn't you? Because I was thinking, you've written that one of the main purposes of fairy tales is to offer hope in some way, some
yes.
vision of a
right.
world in which there is hope. And that tale in particular seems to offer exactly the opposite, the idea that there's no hope at all.
I think that there is a way that one can look at Schwitter's fairy tales as being fairy tales of hope, not in the traditional sort of utopian sense of hope. For instance, a lot of his fairy tales are about happiness and why people don't ever become happy and why we can never find happiness. But if we do away with these illusions, I think that Schwitters believed there was more hope in our lives than we realized, and that the first step toward having hope is by confronting our realities, by exposing what is ridiculous, absurd, bizarre, odd, and so on, and creating almost like a level playing field where people can almost democratically, if you will, decide what the truth is and how we can create a different type of community.
Schwitters had an unhappy time under the Nazis. He was one of those writers whose books were burned. He himself was denounced as degenerate. He wound up having to flee Nazi Germany with his son.
Ernst, right.
And never saw Germany again, did he?
No, he never did. Ernst, their son, was a rabid anti-fascist and refused to join the Hitler Youth Organization. And so his life was in danger. And the family had quite often vacationed in Norway, and they had friends in Norway. So Ernst left Hanover and fled the Nazis and went to Norway, followed soon after by Kurt Schwitters. In the meantime, Helga Fischer, his wife, remained behind because her parents were still alive and his parents were still alive. So she was looking after both sets of parents and the house. But when the Nazis invaded Norway in 1940, Schwitters once again with his son, they both had to flee for their lives. So in 1940, they made their way on a perilous journey using fisher boats to England. And his wife, Helga, contracted cancer and died in 1944. And she stayed also in the house, which was bombed, by the way, in 1944, and a good many of Schwitter's artworks were destroyed in the bombing of Hanover.
I can't help but think that his life sounds a bit like one of his fairy tales. You know, there's certainly no, and they lived happily ever after.
No, well, it was sad. He led a sad life because in the 1920s, his work was exhibited throughout the world. And he was also known for being an amazing performance artist. He traveled widely throughout Europe during the 1920s until 1933, when the Nazis came to power.
Jack Zipes talking about his new edition of fairy tales by Kurt Schwitters. It's called Lucky Hans. And as you can imagine, Hans is not very lucky at all. Anne Strangechamp spoke with him.